Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We're going to continue with our literature unit, whether you like it or not. It's a good way to learn about literature and to improve your English listening skills. So remember last time we summarized our book about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We're talking about the monster within. This guy had a split personality, but it was the result of some experiments by Dr. Jekyll. He made some kind of drug or some kind of potion, to turn himself into Mr. Hyde, who is a really bad guy, and then he could change back into Dr. Jekyll. And, of course, Stephanie and I had not actually read this novel, but we used this concept to talk about people who kind of have two personalities. You know, one second they seem like a really nice person, and then the next second they seem like they're monsters or something. Boy, are you a Jekyll and Hyde. What got into you today?
But we're going to talk about the background of our author today and not the plot. Robert Louis Stevenson, he's British and was born in Scotland. We're going to talk about his life, how he became a writer, and some of the really classic pieces of literature he's responsible for. He's given us some great stuff. He left behind a great legacy, you could say. Let's read through today's program. Robert Louis Stevenson, the only child of a civil engineer, was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, in 1850. He was a sickly child and was confined to bed for years. Stevenson was expected to go into engineering like his father, but wanted to become a writer. He agreed to compromise by studying law at the University of Edinburgh. As a student, he adopted rebellious, bohemian ideas, rejecting bourgeois hypocrisy and organized religion. At the age of 23, Stevenson became extremely ill with a respiratory condition that plagued him the rest of his life, causing him to take strong painkillers. He was sent to the French Riviera to rest and recover. This was the first of many travels that would influence his novels. During this time, Stevenson established himself as a journalist by writing book reviews and articles. In 1876, Stevenson met Fanny Osborne, a 36-year-old American married woman, and fell in love. 4 years later, Osborne decided to leave her husband and wed Stevenson in San Francisco. The couple returned to England, where over the next 7 years, Stevenson wrote some of his best-known works. These included Treasure Island, 1883, A Child's Garden of Verses, 1885, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, 1886, and Kidnapped, 1886. The Stevenson set sail for Samoa in 1888 to escape the harsh European winters that worsened Stevenson's chronic condition. Stevenson wrote several short stories and novellas during this time. At age 44 in 1894, Stevenson died suddenly of a brain hemorrhage. His works, which made him famous in his time, continue to be widely recognized for their use of adventure and gothic horror themes, as well as their portrayal of everyday life in the Victorian era.
Okay, everybody, the time has come for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the monster within. Okay, so today, as we said, as we promised, we're going to talk about the author himself, Robert Louis Stevenson, and he was the only child of a civil engineer, and he was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, way back in 1850. So here, if you see the word Edinburgh, of course, you're going to think, oh, Edinburgh. I've heard of Pittsburgh. I've heard of Emmitsburg. But in Scotland, you're supposed to say Edinburgh. I can't think of any other place where the burg is pronounced Burgh, but you don't want to sound stupid. So if you're going to travel to Scotland, say, oh, I'm going to the capital, Edinburgh, and they won't laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Robert Louis Stevenson's father was a civil engineer, and he was born in the middle of the 19th century, but he was a sickly child and was confined to bed for years. So if you're sickly, that means you're ill most of the time or all the time. So, yeah, he was not a healthy child, and so he was always getting sick. He was always coming down with something and had to spend a lot of time in bed getting over these various illnesses.
Yeah. A lot of times back then, they just didn't have the medication to help some of these kids who perhaps had asthma like I do. You know, and you couldn't run around and play because you couldn't breathe very well. My guess is he had asthma. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So he was a sickly child confined to bed for years. And a lot of these kids that were sick, and there was no television back then, no video games. They turned to books and they read a lot. And they probably had a lot of imagination. And I think that's very helpful if you want to be a writer. You have to have a great imagination. Stevenson was expected to go into engineering like his dad. That's what his dad was. And a lot of dads want their sons to follow in their footsteps or their daughters these days. If you're an engineer, you're somebody who is a scientist. You've studied engineering, and that's the science and technology of designing and building buildings or even designing and building engines and machines. If you're a mechanical engineer, if you're a civil engineer, you're probably busy building bridges. So there are a lot of things an engineer can do. His dad was a civil engineer. And back then, the whole world was building a lot of really huge bridges everywhere. So that's what his dad was. His dad wanted him to be an engineer, but Robert wanted to become a writer. So sometimes you have to compromise with your wishes to keep everyone happy. If you compromise, it just means you don't get everything you want and the other side doesn't get everything they want. You kind of have an agreement where you get a little bit and the other person gets a little bit. We call it negotiation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that negotiation, you have a compromise. So maybe your parents want you to go to bed at 10. And you say, no, I want to go to bed at 12 midnight. But you compromise on going to bed at 11. That's a compromise. Everybody gets a little something. So he did this. He compromised by studying law. It wasn't writing. It wasn't engineering. But it was still something that required a lot of education and was looked up to, you know, back then if you're a lawyer. And he studied at the University of Edinburgh, which is still there today.
Right, so they compromised, they kind of met in the middle there. He did not go into engineering, but at least he said, okay, well, I won't be a writer, but I will study law. That's kind of like engineering. It's maybe a stable profession or something like that. And as a student, he adopted rebellious bohemian ideas, rejecting bourgeois hypocrisy, and organized religion. Okay, so he was a student at university, and when you go to university, of course, you are often exposed to lots of different ways of looking at things, lots of different ways of thinking. So he met some people and he talked to people. So he adopted these ideas. Adopt here means that basically you make them your own. Okay, you can adopt a child, for example, who's someone whose parents have died, then you can have that child come and live with you.
Mm-hmm.
You are adopting that child. But here, you're adopting these ideas, you're giving up your old ideas and starting to have new ones. And the ideas that he adopted were rebellious, which means you're kind of going against the grain. You're doing something or you're thinking about things in a different way from the way most people think about them. So, yeah, he was rebellious. He was, rebelling against society and stuff like that. So he could have gotten in trouble that way. And we've also got the word bohemian here, which, boy, am I tempted to break into song. Now, of course, that's the title of a famous Queen song, Bohemian Rhapsody. But if you're bohemian, of course, that means you're kind of artsy. You hang out in a university and you do painting or you study drama and stuff like that. You kind of hang out. Maybe you're a hippie or something like that, and you're not really working hard.
Yeah, and it says here he also was rejecting bourgeois hypocrisy and organized religion. So we don't use this word too much these days, bourgeois, but it was a very popular word, especially at that time in history and in the world, because there was also this idea of communism and Marxist coming out. If you were a bourgeois person, you were seen to overvalue money. So material things were very important to you. And so you were seen as being someone who just was always looking to become rich, bourgeois. So the bourgeois hypocrisy, if you're a hypocrite, hypocrisy means you live one way while you say you live another. So someone might say, oh, I'm a very good person. But at the same time, they're going around stealing things from other people and lying. That would be someone who's a hypocrite. I'm such a good person. But, you know, most of the time their actions are completely the opposite of what they say. So he didn't like that people were focused too much on material wealth. He felt like things needed to be more fair for people in this world. And he also didn't like going to church. So organized religion, when you see those two words, that means someone that doesn't just believe in God. That means someone who actually goes to church and that a church is important to them. So he was, you know, a typical young person, I think. I think a lot of young people, they are rebellious and they reject things that their parents think are important. So moving on to the next paragraph. Oh, before we do that, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher and then we'll be back to continue talking about Robert Louis Stevenson.
Hi everyone, my name is Jenny. 今天我们要继续来看第十六单元，我们谈 Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde。在这个标题里，其实呢，我们知道，他谈的是一种善恶两个面向的冲突。而这个作品，它的作者到底是谁？这是我们今天要先讨论的。好，这位作者 Robert Louis Stevenson。大家对他的名字也许没什么概念，可是等一下我们要来看看他有哪些作品。哎，这些作品其实都非常的有名，也许你早就知道这些故事，只是不知道哦，原来就是同一位作者呢。那谈到Robert Louis Stevenson， 他的时代背景是1850年左右，他其实是诞生于 Scotland， 而这边提到他父亲的工作，他是一个Civil engineer， 土木工程师。不过呢，他却想要成为作家。好，到这边我们先来看前面的一个片语。哎，提到说他卧病在床多年 ，was confined to bed。好 ，confine 这个字就是有限制、局限。那我们知道 ，be confined to 就是受限于什么、局限于什么的范围。哎，比较有趣的就是有几个类似的片语，像 limited， 像 restricted。当你说 a person is restricted to 或是 is limited to， 都有受限于什么的同样的解释。好，那继续来看作者他的故事。他想要当作家，可是家里跟他的想法是不一样的，最后呢就妥协了，那就干脆念法律吧。不过在他当学生的时候，他基本上是怎么样的一个学生呢？ He adopted rebellious bohemian ideas. Bohemian 这是波西米亚的思想，基本上就是很狂荡不羁的。还有他还拒绝这里有一个字比较难，看起来也不太像英文。好，这个字 bourgeois， 它基本上中文就是中产阶级。他拒绝接受中产阶级的虚伪，还有这种制度性的宗教。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're talking about the author himself, Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm-hmm. So, where we left off, he had started to attend university. He was studying law there. And at the age of 23, or when he was 23 years old, Stevenson became extremely ill with a respiratory condition that plagued him the rest of his life, causing him to take strong painkillers. So we did describe him earlier as a sickly child. He was always getting sick when he was a kid. And when he was 23 years old, he had another medical problem. He had a respiratory condition. Respiratory means having to do with your breathing, which is like asthma. As you said earlier, you suspect that he was suffering from asthma. Is that right? You said asthma?
Yeah, that's my guess. Yeah, asthma.
Okay, which Sichuan in Chinese.
Yeah.
And, of course, we didn't really know that back then. They didn't really know about bacteria back then either.
We didn't have x-rays yet.
Indeed, it was kind of primitive still then. But so this problem plagued him for the rest of his life. Plague here as a verb just means it causes trouble for you. It's just a pain in the butt.
Can't get away from it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just always there. And as a result of this respiratory problem, he had to take painkillers, and they were strong painkillers, like morphine, I guess, is a kind of painkiller. There are other ones.
Opium.
I think painkillers actually killed Prince, the famous musician. I think he was taking really strong painkillers. And he OD'd. Or overdosed on those painkillers.
Now, he was sent to the French Riviera. That's part of France. It's right there on the coast. So you're by the ocean. It's very glamorous there and very nice to rest and recover. The weather there is a little more, it's warmer, drier, better for people to breathe. This was the first of many travels that would influence his novels. And like most writers, you know, he's influenced by his life and the things he sees and the people he meets. During this time, Stevenson established himself. If you establish yourself, it just means you do well enough in something that people pay attention, people are noticing. And he established himself as a journalist by writing book reviews and articles. So he wasn't the kind of journalist that reported on crime or, you know, the financial situation. He would actually do book reviews and articles, and that's how he started as a writer. Now, in 1876, he met someone named Fanny Osborne, and she was a 36-year-old American, but she was also married. When they met each other, they fell in love. Sometimes that happens. Hopefully, you, if you're attracted to a married person, you stay away from them. That's probably better for both of you. But 4 years later, after they met, Osborne decided to leave her husband. That was a big deal back then. You just didn't do that. And she wed Stevenson in San Francisco. Instead of saying married, you can use that three-letter word, they wed. It's more literary. We use it in our writing more than our speaking. They got married is what we usually say when we're just talking about people. But you can see that they ended up in San Francisco at this point.
In San Francisco. Yeah. I left my heart in San Francisco. They left their hearts there. But the couple returned to England. I guess San Francisco was too nice for them, so they went back to jolly old England, where over the next 7 years, Stevenson wrote some of his best-known works. So he got busy when they were living in England there, and he wrote a lot of novels and short stories and stuff. And
His best stuff.
And these included Treasure Island, which was written in 1883.
We've talked about Treasure Island.
We have, and A Child's Garden of Verses, which means like maybe some kind of poems
poetry?
Or something
yeah,
for
poetry.
Children or something. Mm. And then we also have The Strange Case or Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which came out in 1886, and finally Kidnapped back in 1886. I think I tried to read Kidnapped when I was younger, but my English wasn't so good then, so I put it down fairly soon. Maybe
you're a little boy, huh?
Yeah, I was a young boy. I didn't quite understand. But those are some examples of the stuff he wrote during the time in England.
And in the final paragraph, it starts out by saying the Stevensons set sail for Samoa in 1888. Samoa is a group of islands in the South Pacific, I believe. But it's warm there. The people are very, very nice. Good food. If you set sail, it just means you get into a boat and you launch and you go. So they went to Samoa to escape the harsh European winters that worsened Stevenson's chronic condition. Yeah, the winter in England is really pretty bad. It rains even more than it does here, and it's very cold. You guys think it's cold in Taiwan in the winter, but it's not that cold. It is cold in the UK. In England, you can even get snow quite frequently, so it's hard to breathe there. To get worse is a verb we use. To worsen is to get worse than you were before. So worsened, it got even worse for him. If your doctor says you have a chronic condition, it means you'll never be able to cure it. You'll have it the rest of your life. But you just have to have the kind of treatment that can, keep it at bay. I was going to say at bay just means so it doesn't get worse. So chronic conditions would include asthma. It would include things like diabetes. It would include, migraines. You'll always have them, headaches or migraines. So if you have a chronic condition, no, you can't cure it. It won't disappear, but you could keep it at a level that it's tolerable and you can live a good life.
So he wrote books, and I guess he could afford to move way out into the South Pacific Ocean there in Samoa there. So it's nice and warm there with palm trees and stuff like that. And Stevenson wrote several short stories and novellas during this time, hanging out in Samoa there, going down to the beach and drinking pina coladas and things like that. And at age 44 in 1894, Stevenson died suddenly of a brain hemorrhage. I believe a hemorrhage is when a blood vessel ruptures or bursts.
Yeah.
And blood leaks into your body at some point, and that can cause all sorts of problems. I think that's similar to a stroke. And so that's what he suffered from, a brain hemorrhage. And unfortunately, that killed him at the age of 44 in the year 1894.
Now, actually, if you look up stroke, it says a blockage or hemorrhage of a blood vessel.
Okay.
So, it sounds like he had a stroke. I wanted to mention a novella. If you see that word, it just means a very short novel. It still is considered longer than a short story, but it's a lot faster to read, novella. Mm. So short stories are a little shorter than the novella. So he did die at a pretty young age, although back then people didn't live, to be 70 and 80 like they do nowadays. But he did die very suddenly. Even though he had that chronic condition, it didn't kill him. Something else did.
Unfortunately, so his works of literature, which made him famous in his time or made him famous when he was alive, continue to be widely recognized for their use of adventure and gothic horror themes, as well as their portrayal of everyday life in the Victorian era. So that's how our lesson ends there. But let's just talk about this word gothic here. It could refer to the Goths, which was a kind of people who lived in Europe a long time ago. But now it kind of refers to dark things, scary things, gothic music, for example. If you're very goth, for example, you wear black clothing and chains and things like that.
Or you like vampires.
Yeah. And you listen to heavy metal music.
Some of those goth folks around actually do like to drink blood, so watch out. But gothic horror themes are just mysterious stories, often are set in castles or, old scary places, kind of fun, as well as their portrayal of everyday life in the Victorian era. A portrayal of something is usually done through words and the description of things and people and places. Portrayal. It's also a word we use when someone's on stage. Someone can portray a character on stage or on the screen if you're watching a movie. But here, he's widely recognized for his stories that have these different themes and that portray or depict. Describe is another word for that. Describe everyday life. Portrayal here, though, is a noun. Portray is the verb. We're out of time. We got to go listen to our Chinese teacher and then be back to wrap this up.
好，我们继续来看 Stevenson 他的故事。 后来我们也了解，其实 Stevenson 身体真的不好，而且呢，他呼吸系统方面是有问题的。那这在接下来的这一辈子里面，都深深的折磨他。我们来看到这个动词 plague， 如果当名词的话，就是瘟疫；如果当动词的话，哎，可以说是困扰一个人，折磨一个人。那他深受这个问题的影响，也因为这个病他必须服用止痛药。好，那当然为了要让他养病，他就到处旅行，而这些旅行的故事其实都成为他小说里面的养分。我们来看后面这边就说了，他怎么样在旅行当中写书评、写文章，来确保他撰稿人的地位。 established himselfAs a journalist， 我们知道 establish 本来就是建立，那 establish himself 再加 us 后面就是接角色，所以就是确立他什么样的角色，什么样的地位。不过有一点就是 establish 基本上他加了 ed， 它是一个形容词，它可以有形容词的用法，意思也就是说，哎，是知名的，是有名的，是有成就的。好，那我们再来看看下面就提到，哎，时间继续往前进，到了1876年的时候，后来他就爱上了一位美国籍已婚的女子 Fanny。 这段故事当然也是很浪漫的，不过最终他们回到了英格兰，然后呢，接下来的七年，他写了很多有名的作品。大家如果看到这些作品的标题 ，Treasure Island 金银岛，下面 A Child's Garden of Verses 儿童诗园，还有就是我们今天探讨的 The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde， 化神博士的故事，还有 Kidnapped。绑架，这几个故事都是大家津津乐道，到今天我们都说他们可以说是经典作品。好，接下来我们最后就要提到，最后其实 Stevenson 我们提到他身体不太好，然后呢病情越来越严重，所以他最后在1888年的时候，他决定前往萨摩亚。那这边说他前往萨摩亚为的就是要养病，因为冬天在欧洲实在太冷了。好，那我们再来看看这段期间养病，他还写了小说，写了几本的短篇小说，还写了 novella。 novella 这个字当然看得出来跟 novel 有关， novella 指的是中篇小说，所以我们就来看看其实小说的长度有些不同的称呼。我们讲短篇小说是 short stories， 我们说小说如果是介于 novel 跟 short story 之间的 novella， 那就是中篇小说。好，那再来我们往下看，下面就提到后来在1894年 Stevenson 他死于脑溢血。好，我们今天讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today, everybody. We appreciate your coming, and we certainly hope you come again next time when we continue to talk about Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.